Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
It's wonderful to be back again. And they invited us to stay 2 months, but we told them we can only do 2 weeks. No. Thank you, Pastor Nelly and Tina and the whole leadership team. I'm leaving here very fulfilled. I've gone from one meal to another meal to another meal. And thank you, everybody, for all your kindness and the love. And, you know, there's the uniqueness of what God is doing here. And again, treasure what the Lord is doing. Treasure your leaders. Bless them. Pour into them as they're pouring into you. And I'm thankful that God in His wisdom knows how to reach each one of us in all the different backgrounds and things that you and I are in and walk through. I want to speak to you today about a subject I call the journey of light. We're on a journey of light and a discovery of life, family, friends, enemies, all kinds of situation, education, mate, God, the Bible. When I use the term light, I mean insight that comes to us. And so we're all on this journey. And what I want to share today with you is three parts of this journey of light. And journey, first of all, of illumination. That's God turning the light on about who He is. The second is the light of God's Word. That's the importance of you as an individual discovering that the Bible is God's book. And the third is the light of direction. God has direction for every single one of us. Not just a few of us. It's not just for the pastors, so to speak, or the leaders. But He is a great shepherd that leads us all into green pastures. That's you and I finding direction for our lives. And so it's so important. And I just want to open with a word of prayer that God would just turn the light on today. Would that be good? And I've been in situations where on some deserted islands out in the middle of the Pacific where all the power went off. And it's so dark out there, you can't see your hand in front of your face. But we're on a journey of discovery and a journey of light so illumination can come to every single one of us. Father, we thank You today that every single individual on this journey today, I ask You to open their hearts, open their minds, give us revelation, give us understanding, give us insight. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to introduce my family to you first of all. I have an older adopted daughter, and that's my grandson, and she's a realtor, and that was the first sale she made in real estate. It was a big one. So she is getting ready to get married. That's my grandson, adopted. He is three-quarters Chinese. That's my adopted daughter, and that's my son, his wife, and my two beautiful grandchildren. Whoa. They live upstairs, and we live downstairs in a house. This was my grandchild's third birthday, and so Nancy had to try out the little horses that were there. Isn't that cool? Cool picture. First of all, is the light, what I call the light of illumination. One day in the scriptures, Jesus made this statement in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. How many of you want to embrace that particular word? I don't want to walk in darkness. I want to walk in light. And I want to speak especially to those of you that are in university. You're challenged every day, or you're in high school. You're challenged every day concerning the light. And every day there's nothing that's out there that's trying to give you understanding of God. In fact, it's trying to put out understanding of God. So you're going to have to fight for this journey of light. And so as an individual, Jesus was praying alone one particular day. And this is found in Luke chapter 9, verse 18 through 20. As he was praying along, the disciples happened to be in the area and came up. And after he had finished praying, he asked the disciples this: "Who do the crowds say that I am?" This is what Rice Brooks' movie is addressing. Who do the people say that I am? And the disciples said, "Well, some say it's John, that you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah. Others say you're one of the prophets risen from the dead." But Jesus asked this very important question. That's a question for every single human being on earth. "But who do you say that I am?" The answer to that question for your life is very critical and very important for you. And then it goes on in the book of Matthew, the same conversation that Jesus was having with the disciples. He said, "Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father revealed that to you." In other words, here's what he said. He said, God turned the light on of your understanding, and all of a sudden, you just realized I wasn't some other man. You got the point that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, I often think about, when you look at scriptures, what was Jesus praying about when the disciples came up? I can't be dogmatic about this, but I believe that Jesus was praying these 12 guys would get it. Knock, knock, anybody home? He was praying, "Father, reveal yourself, make yourself known to these 12. And all of a sudden, the light came on in their lives. You are the Christ. Now, you and I deal with this on the journey of life. We're either embracing light or we're rejecting light concerning who he is. Now, as an individual, in my own personal journey, I was raised up in a church and went to church, but I sat there like a kid saying, "What in the world is this all about?" But when I turned 14, one particular morning, my mother comes and wakes me up and says, "I can't wake your dad up." And during the night, my dad had had heart problems. Ever since I was in the first grade, he was not really able to work. He had had a challenged heart. He had passed away during the night. Now, my dad was very involved in my life. He was not able to work until I was in the sixth grade. I was in the first grade when he passed away. Or second grade when he passed, excuse me, I was 14. It wasn't. When he had a heart attack, I was in the first grade. But I was in the ninth grade when he passed away. All of a sudden, he was gone. A man that took me fishing, hunting, was it every sports game I ever played, he was there. And an amazing dad. Not a perfect dad, but an amazing dad. And all of a sudden, he was gone. And what I began as a 14-year-old kid, I began seeking after a Heavenly Father. And that particular year, I went to the pastor, and you know, usually pastors come to you and say, "You need God." But I went to the pastor and I said, "I need God." And he knew enough to pray with me. He's a traditional pastor. He knew enough to pray with me to receive Christ. But guess what he told me to do? He said, "Sam, go see the Baptist." He said, "I don't know what to do with you after that." Well, I'd been scared of the Baptist all my life, so I just backslid. And this is very important for all of us. If you and I don't get truth poured into us when we receive the light into our lives, we're not discipled. Basically, Sam Webb went backwards rather than forward. And you wouldn't even have known that I was a believer by the time I got to my senior year in high school. But here's something that was interesting. I had a praying grandmother. She was praying, let the light turn on in that boy. And she was praying. And I had a group of friends that we grew up in a small town, less than 3,000 people. There's more in the mall down here in one level than there were in my little town. And so as one particular day, we were driving up and down the street, and that's what the boys would do. They didn't have anything else to do in the town, just drive up and down the street. And out of my mouth, they were all seniors in high school, I said, "Guys, we got to get serious about God." And everybody in the car says, "Webb's gone nuts. What's happened to him? He's gone nuts." The Baptist pastor of that town would visit the sports football teams. And one day he showed up in my yard at my house and called me to Christ. I went to one of the meetings at his church, and I was on the back row. And they gave the altar call, and all of a sudden, light began to come inside of me. I was up out of my chair on the front row before I knew what was happening. Didn't even know what was happening. And he says, "What do you want?" And I said, "I need God." You see, the light and light coming in our souls is what you and I need, the revelation of who Christ really is. I've been working with a man that's 79, and I have done everything that I possibly can to get the truth in this guy. And then I read this scripture recently, and I says, "I haven't been praying for this guy. I've been trying to stuff the Bible down him. I've been discipling him. And here's what I want to encourage you. You never give up on family and friends. Never stop praying for family and friends. In-laws, outlaws, ever kind of, all of those situations. Let's never stop." Now, could you go to this picture? These are my two beautiful grandchildren. One that's on your right is 5 years old. One day she was talking to me and she says, "Poppy," that's what they call me, "I'll never stop loving my family or my friends." I thought, "Hey, I'm going to write that down." Isn't that true? Never, never, say it with me, never, never give up on your family and your friends. Never stop loving them, because you are the one that can pray that the light comes on. Wow. So I began to pray. I'm working with three men. One of them is a plumber. The other is a doctor. And the other is a retired communications engineer. And I've been praying and inviting the doctor to church. And the other day, I thought, "Well, I'm not going to say anything today." And he said, "Sam, don't give up on me." You see, never, never, say it with me again, never give up on family and friends. Because we are the ones that can pray and the light can come on. Never, never. And then one day, Ellie says, "Poppy, I got another one. I'll never stop loving God and Jesus." I said, "Yes, hallelujah." Out of the mouth of a babe. You are the one, especially in your family and your friends, that can pray those kind of prayers that the light can come on inside of them. The second thing is the light of God's Word. I've got a couple of scriptures here. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And when the enemy began to tempt him, he said, "Man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Most of us don't have an experience as we see Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus, and all of a sudden a light from heaven came and God spoke to him. Most of us don't have that kind of experience. I didn't have that kind of experience. I was just kind of clueless about the Bible. My church was not a Bible-believing church. I mean, they only had one Bible, and it was a giant Bible up on the pulpit. Nobody carried a Bible to church. In fact, I don't even remember seeing many Bibles around our town. So I had to go to a youth camp one time, and I was supposed to bring a Bible. And where do you get at that particular time, I lived in a town of 1,927 people. There's no bookstores. So somebody said, go to what you call the prescription stores. We call them drug stores. So go to the drug store and find out if they got a book. And Mrs. Porter went in the back room in a dusty, dry area. And she said, Sammy, I found a Bible. My very first Bible. So, hey, having a Bible, that's a wonderful thing. But guess what? If you don't read it, it's not going to do anything for you. I had a Bible. So, hey, I can remember trying to read it. And this is the reason it's so important for us to disciple people that come to Christ. The light comes on. They need somebody to be there with them to help follow through with them. Well, I just, again, didn't follow through. So it came time to go off to university. And I was going to go off to a certain school. And my friend says, Sammy, you don't want to go to that school. That's where cowboys go, and you're not a cowboy. And I wasn't a cowboy. So I went off to Baylor University. And this is God honest truth. I didn't actually know that it was a Christian school. I did know it was a Christian school, but I didn't know it was a Christian school. I knew that it's where the Baptists went there, and I wasn't a Baptist. So you have to take Bible when you go to Baylor. And so I don't know where that other Bible went, but I went down to the bookstore and had to buy a Bible. And I bought a hardback Bible. And usually you start off, and this is very important, because we're all in a journey. Just because you come to this church doesn't necessarily mean that you believe that the Bible's the Word of God. I want you to believe it. Pastor Nelly wants you to believe the Bible is the Word of God. But guess what? The enemy is going to touch your life in some way to find out if you believe that the Bible's the Word of God. So here's the thing. I took the New Testament class, and guess what? I had to read the New Testament through, all the way through. And all of a sudden, when you start to read this book, amazing things. I had a great aunt that was a dedicated believer. And she was telling me about miracles. She was telling me about people getting healed, people getting saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they were saying, my great aunt would say, Sammy, that's what they call me in Texas, don't you believe the Bible? I said, well, Aunt Camille, I guess I do. I'm not really sure. But as I began to read it, and this is what happens when you begin to read the scriptures, all of a sudden, faith began to come inside my heart. I was on the swimming team, and I wasn't a good swimmer, but I was on the team. And so I had all of these horrible warts all down my leg. So my aunt said, Sammy, every day, put your hands on those warts and tell them to get off of you in Jesus' name. So every day, I thought it's worth a try. So every day I'd put my hands on those and say, get off me in Jesus' name. And one day, they were gone. Wow. So here's this little itsy bitsy brain I got. My cousins were in the drug culture. And they were saying this Jesus Christ blankety blank blank blank. Some of the professors at the university saying the Bible is not true because of this and this and this. And here's this little brain going back and forth, back and forth. Is it God? Is it not God? Is it? So one day I decided to go. My aunt invited me to lunch. She really fed good food. But I had to go to church with her before I went to lunch. I'm telling you my journey because every single one of us are in this journey of discovery. Now, your journey may be a little different, but it's going to come through the same testings. So that day, I was sick, but I was hungrier than I was sick. And, you know, they really serve good food at my aunt's. And so that day, they didn't go to the Episcopal Church where she normally went. They took me to a church just like this one. And I walked in the room, and all of a sudden the hair stood up on the back of my neck. And there was only about four seats left, and they were right on the front row, Pastor Nelly. And all of a sudden everybody raised their hands and began to worship. God was touching my heart. You see, it's not just you reading the scriptures, and that's very important, but all of a sudden, the impact of that word was quickened in an atmosphere of faith. And this is literally what I did. I raised my hands just like that, because God was in that room and touching this confused 19-year-old kid. I was 18 at that time. So then we were going to go to lunch after church at my aunt's house. And that particular day, there was a medical doctor that came to lunch. She was from Florida visiting. And so I waited until I finished lunch and good dessert. And I said, Aunt Camille, I'm not feeling well. Could I go back to the dorm? She said, fine. So the doctor got up and walked with me. And he, as we were walking to the door, he said, Sam, can I pray for you? I thought, usually the doctor says, take these two pills and call me tomorrow. But he said, can I pray for you? And I said, well, yes. He said, kneel down right here. Right there in front of God and everybody, I knelt down. He laid his hands on me. I was immediately healed. I mean, like, immediately. Say that with me. Immediately. I wished I'd gone back for more to eat after that, but I went on back to the dorm. But you see, those particular things became marking stones in my life. So one day I climbed inside the closet and I said, God, I'm not smart enough to figure this out. My cousins say this, some of the professors say this, and yet I see the truth in people's lives. And all of a sudden I said, God, I'm going to embrace the Bible as truth. And all of a sudden, it's like this heavy burden rolled off my back. And hey, the truth all of a sudden began to come alive to me. The third thing is what I call the journey of direction. All of us, and Paul the Apostle himself, was giving his life to the Jews. And all of a sudden, God's word came to him and said, change directions. And well, he took off another direction. He began to go to the Gentiles, and everybody said, amen. Thank God that he went to the Gentiles. So Nancy and I had been, we'd been in Hawaii 5 years. We offered to go to Tahiti to plant a church, but we're opening something in Guam, and so we decided we were going to go to Guam, and God was leading us to go to Guam. So we were going to go back to visit Nancy's family for just a little while before we went to the Guam, and when I got back there, I had to do different kinds of work. I'd been on staff at the church in Hawaii. And so I was doing maintenance and different kinds of jobs. And the guy could say, Sam, what are you doing this kind of work for? I can get you in the leadership training program here. You're not a maintenance guy. He could see I had a little bit more than just, you know, that was, my capacity was greater. So Nancy could see the confusion that was coming to me. Somebody offered me a church. And so at that particular time, she said, why don't you take some time off and go seek God? Good advice, wives, to your husbands. So I went up to Vancouver, B.C., and a church there that we knew, and got there, and there was a prayer meeting going on. 3 days of prayer and fasting, got there at the right time. So I was in the prayer room that night, and I was on my knees, and seriously, I was making a list of the reasons that I should not go to Guam. And all of a sudden, these hands came on me, all over me. And here's what the word of the Lord says. I see you making a list of the reasons you should not go. Does God know us or what? I had not told anybody about this. And this is what the Lord said, tear it up and I will be with you. And we went to Guam, started a church. That's where we reached Scott Dalma, which is the major leader in Japan, Bruce Ho, others. You see, God is a God of light. And he wants to speak into all of our lives that Christ is the Son of the living God. Never, never stop praying for family and friends for the light to come on. Secondly, you'll be tested to the max whether this Bible is the Word of God. Get your heart and mind and light will come on. And relationship to that, as dramatic as healing that was, God's word became truth inside of Sam Webb, and it'll become truth inside of your life. And the last thing is the importance of direction in your life. God has words. He doesn't have to come through a prophet. It'll come to your life. God will speak to your life. He speaks to us generally just out of his word. And he's spoken to all of us at different times just straight out of his word. That's where he generally gives us direction. Now, I'd like for us, if we could all stand real quickly, the worship team could come forward. Thank you for being a good audience here today. God is a God of light, and he wants to turn the light on in your life. Whatever is the challenge on this journey that you're walking in, what is the situation of where you are walking in light? Where's the challenge of light? Is it just about who Christ is? Maybe you're in the valley of decision there. Maybe it's about the Word of God. Discipling somebody, walking them through with the truth of discovery. So important. And the last is direction. God is a God of direction. Could you just bow your head with me just a moment? Father, I thank you for every person that's here today. I thank you that you're a God of light. And I ask you today to turn the light on. Let light come in every single heart and mind, the light of who you are. And today, if you're not certain concerning your relationship with Jesus Christ, today is the day where light can come on inside of your soul. I'm going to pray this simple prayer. It's a prayer that I prayed, and every person that begins their walk with Jesus prays this same prayer. And let's all just pray this prayer together out loud. And if you have not let Christ into your life, you pray this prayer today, meaning it with the sincerity of your heart. Same way I had to pray that prayer. Same way every single person that's received Christ into their life prayed this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you. I recognize I need you. And I need your work in my life. I ask you to forgive me and I ask you to cleanse me of all my wrongs. I ask you that you would cleanse me and forgive me. I open the door of my life and invite Christ to become the Lord and the Master of my life. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Coming into my life. Lord, I thank you for direction in people's lives, those that are struggling with the Word of God today. I ask you that light, you would guide them with your light into truth. And I just want to challenge you today, if reading the Word of God, all of a sudden light begins to come. Light turned on in Sam Webb's soul when I began to read. You read, light will come on. Those of you that need direction, lift your hands up. You need some direction from God. Just lift it up. Lord, you see these hands today. I thank you for giving them divine direction, insight that would come to them, whether it's in a dream or whether it's a vision, whether it's a word. Lord, we thank you for light coming to them and direction coming to their lives. The power of your love leading them into new horizons for the kingdom's sake. We pray this in Jesus' name.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.